This is Mark.
Hi, Mark. This is Zachary. How are you?
Hey, great. How are you today?
Doing well, doing well. Thank you for taking your time for this. I appreciate that.
Of course, you know, and I appreciate your tweets and your feedback and being involved in everything.
Oh, hey, cool. No problem. No, it's always interesting to see what is going on here in the greater Lafayette area, so.
Yeah. I'm happy to I think a podcast is a cool idea, and if that's what you'd like to do, go for it, or text, or whatever
you want
to do. You know, it's I'm happy to help.
Okay, great, great. Well, I guess first off, the big question. So it was yesterday that you announced on Twitter that there would be this $250,000 cash donation to. Now you just said to the neighborhood. Is it the new Chauncey neighborhood in particular, or is it just the adjacent streets that are by that development? Or you know, give us a little detail about that.
Sure, and just some, a quick background.
Yeah, no, that would be great too.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Lafayette, and myself and 12 members of my family, we all graduated from Purdue University. So and a majority of my family still live in the greater Lafayette area. So we're through and through, you know, Purdue people and Purdue fans. So. I bleed black and gold, but we started buying and managing properties on the Purdue campus, apartment properties, about 10 years ago. And we started small with one property, and we've kind of organically grown over the course of 10 years into, one of the larger players in terms of the private sector apartment ownership and management business. And it's just been really fun to kind of build a company from the ground up over the course of 10 years. And we've had a great time, and we've had a really pretty good run doing it. So this next venture, I think, that we're going to talk about is, I think, kind of the next, you know, step of progress in terms of kind of trying to create a project that, you know, where all parties win. Parties that would include the Purdue students, the Purdue community, the neighborhood, the citizens of West Lafayette. There's too many groups to even list. I think any successful project, any successful development project, every party has to win in some manner. So that was my intent with how can we make that happen? With a development project, how can we make that happen? So I think that was kind of the big overriding question. And I'm trying to, with our proposal for a $250,000 commitment or contribution towards the neighborhoods adjacent and surrounding the project that we're interested in, that's kind of one of the parts where I'm trying to create a win-win situation for the players involved in this project and the people that would live in and around it in the city of West Lafayette.
Okay, and then since you specifically brought that up, I did a little research trying to go back on some of the things that were going around this this announcement. So in particular, so you mentioned all those different groups. I had the question, what is the winning scenario? For instance, we can just go down that Purdue. How do you perceive Purdue winning? And maybe in particular, back it up a little bit. What is the planned development there on Northwestern across from that?
Yes, we own the Stadium Square strip mall, and we also own the adjacent apartment property kind of on the east side of that city block. And what we are proposing is a high-rise development, a 10-story high-rise development that would be the first floor would be commercial, you know, retail space, restaurants, and actually, you know, many of the tenants that already reside in the Stadium Square strip mall are have shown interest, obvious interest in staying in a larger scale development on that site, and then the 9 stories on top of that would be apartments. That's the crux of the development. It's large scale, 660 beds, a mix of 1, 2, 3, and 4 bedroom units. Commercial space. Again, some of this is a little preliminary because we're
our architects
are working on it as we speak. But you know, probably looking at 30,000 to 40,000 square feet of retail space. So the existing Stadium Square retail is approximately 13,000 square feet of retail. So it would certainly be an expansion of that. And I guess the news or the word of this project has leaked out into the market. You know, we're being inundated with calls from retail tenants that, that frankly already exist on every other Big Ten campus in the Big Ten, not at Purdue. And so, you know, Purdue is, in my opinion, and I'm biased because I'm a Purdue fan, but it's the best school in the Big Ten. It's the preeminent, it's one of the preeminent schools in this country. And the fact is, these other campuses from the private sector have evolved. Old properties have been torn down. New properties have been developed. Properties 20, 25 stories tall in many cases. Mm-hmm. And that simply has just never happened to Purdue for one reason or another. And I think this is kind of a natural progression. I think as Purdue has built new buildings, research facilities, new offices, new very cool projects Purdue's done, the one thing that's never happened is the private sector has never evolved, has never developed. I'm saying in the area immediately around Purdue. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I think that is holding Purdue back. And so, you know, our hope is to, you know, put our best foot forward, mm-hmm. and really create a cool project that can kind of synergize with some of the cool things that Purdue is already doing. I think that if Purdue has done their part with their developments and their expansion, and the private sector has not done so. And so we are, this just it's a little background on project, mm-hmm. that we're proposing.
No, that's great. So that's Purdue, how you perceive Purdue winning, and a couple questions came out of that as well. But just maybe quickly for the other entities, now trying to piece this all together, Boiler Cribs, that's the corporation that runs your other tenant buildings?
That is our management company. That is our management company, BoilerCribs.com, mm-hmm. is our management entity. We have our Twitter and Facebook are all kind of tied into that. We have a really big social media presence, and it has just been fantastic because, you know, we started this business 10 years ago. We were never able to communicate with our tenants. There just wasn't a mode of communication for that. And not that tenants generally even like to communicate with their landlords, but what social media and our website have allowed us to do is just create a medium that, you know, that we're here, that we're responsive, that we respond in real time. You can text us, call us, tweet us, Facebook us, whatever you'd like to do, we're here and we respond in real time. And it's amazing. One of the most common responses we get is when someone contacts us or emails us and we respond 60 seconds later. The most common response I get is, even before they talk about apartments or anything, is, I can't believe you just emailed me back that fast. Mm-hmm. And so it's just been a really cool evolution of our business to kind of this real-time conversation and the ability for tenants to contact us through multiple modes of communication. It's frankly just been a lot of fun, and I think it's helped us be better property managers.
That's great. No, that's really good to hear, because I know that's definitely the more engaged route to go, especially mm-hmm. in this particular arena around college campuses where social media is so prominent. Mm-hmm. Having that kind of presence really helps, you know, especially that kind of business where word of mouth is a very positive thing. So I'm sure, you know, that helps you out tremendously.
Yeah. Well, I'll say it again. It's fun to do. I mean, I run our Facebook page. I personally run our Facebook page and our Twitter account, and it's really cool to be able to actually interact with our tenants and prospective tenants and just students. You know, any of the students at Purdue University. A lot of these tweets and Facebook messages and things like that have led to, you know, myself having lunch and stuff with students and being involved with certain campus projects and being a part of different campus organizations. And like, man, 10 years ago, I just couldn't even do that.
Right.
And now it's fun. I love it.
No, that's great. That's great. Okay, so that's how you see, you know, Boiler Cribs obviously just expanding your availability there. Now, what about the neighborhood there? How do you see them benefiting from this development?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what I think. There is in that immediate pocket on Stadium and kind of like this intersection of Stadium and Northwestern, mm-hmm. there is an absolute boom in development. There may be more activity in that corner, in that general vicinity around that corner, than anywhere in the tent. With the $100 million that Purdue just spent on the Mackey and Athletic Complex renovation and redevelopment, with the Hall of Engineering, with the proposed Wang Hall project, that's the hottest niche, that's the hottest submarket, probably in the Big Ten. The several hundred million dollars worth of development has been built or is proposed for that immediate area, and I think our project fits right in with that. I met with members of the Purdue Athletic Department. They're trying to create an environment where maybe fans don't come to the game, the basketball, the football game, 20 minutes before the game starts. They're trying to create an environment where people come 2 or 3 hours before. Mm-hmm. And have more of a fan-friendly experience. I think our project, and we talked about this with the Purdue Athletic Firm, fits right in with that. You know, you're going to have a critical mass of retail, of students. You know, these core urban areas, you know, I really believe in you know, dense urban kind of settings in cities. I think that's where cool ideas come from. I think that's where, you know, having, you know, conveniences of retail and restaurants and shops, you know, within walking distance. That's where the rest of the Big Ten has gone, and I think that's where Purdue is headed. When I say Purdue, I just mean the Purdue kind of campus market. So, you know, and I think the neighborhood, thrives on stuff like that. I mean, you don't, you know, if you live in those neighborhoods, I'm guessing, you know, in the surrounding kind of neighborhoods around our project and around the kind of the Stadium Northwestern area, I'm guessing you are a Purdue fan, or you at least like some form of energy, some form of activity. I mean, those are not quiet neighborhoods,
right,
over there. I mean, it's happening. I mean, there's good stuff's going on, and so I think we all have that in common, that we like to have a fun environment, a cool environment. You know, it's not one where you want to get your car and drive over to Lafayette to go to some giant superstore. I mean, you want to have cool little places on campus that you can access. I think from a neighborhood perspective, I think this development will absolutely help that and will create that critical mass there. And I will say too, you know, you had mentioned the 250,000, proposal, I guess, or commitment towards the neighborhoods, and what that is, you know, that I'll admit it, that was not my idea. You know, that idea came from meeting with city councilors. That idea came from meeting with a couple of the leaders of the New Chauncey kind of neighborhood and associations there, and the feedback I kept getting is, we would talk about the project, we talk about our ideas for the concept and the development of our project, But I said, what are the other issues? What are the other concerns? And the issue that kept coming up was protecting the neighborhoods, revitalizing, rehabilitating, you know, and the neighborhoods, the houses. And again, you asked for a specific area. You know, I don't have a specific area. I'm just saying, you know, in general, the kind of the Hills and Dales, New Chauncey kind of area, mm-hmm. it's, you know, the houses around it.
Right.
You know, in general. So that issue kept coming up, protecting, revitalizing, rejuvenating, and building parks. And I said, it's a concern of everyone's. But I said, here's my question. How do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, you have to have an ability to execute your plan and your vision. How do you do that? And the answer I kept getting from everyone was capital.
Right.
Money. And I said, well, let's see what we can do. Let's see what we can think about. Let's see what ideas we have. And I think that the thought is that these neighborhoods could use money for grants for someone to rehab their house, grants for down payment assistance. A new family wants to move in to one of these houses and doesn't have the $5,000 or the $10,000 or the $15,000 for a down payment. A grant with down payment assistance. Parks. And again, it's not my vision per se. It is I want this to be the neighborhood's, you know, vision. I want the neighborhood to execute this. The people that live in that area, they will always know their vision and how they want their neighborhood to be better than myself. And I think that the key here with the 250,000 is I want the neighborhoods to be in control of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want, and I don't know if that means, you know, it goes to a specific entity or if a new entity is created. I mean, those are questions for attorneys and things like that. But I know the high level concept is it's 250,000 to the neighborhoods. And if they wanted, the neighborhood wanted to set up a committee or however they like to figure out how the best use of that money, you know, I want that to be the neighborhood's decision.
Okay.
I think that's the easiest path for these neighborhoods and for these leaders in neighborhoods to be able to execute a plan to make their neighborhood be how they want it to be.
Nicely put. That leads into another question. You've kind of answered some of it in there. So you said you'd like the neighborhood to be in control, determine mm-hmm. these types of things, but it sounds like you said that obviously that'll have to be worked out. But I mean, what did you, as far as envisioning that, is would that $250,000 go to the city and then the city would allocate it? Because it's kind of just, you know, your entity offering this money and, you know, either the one word that comes to mind is governance. You know, how is this money going to be governed and delegated out? You know, those decisions, is the city going to want to park here, but maybe the neighborhood is at, you know, a point of contention with the city on that, or, you know, the hairier issues regarding this money, because you start throwing a carrot out there, and there's a lot of people, you know, that are,
right.
that are going to be vying for that. How do you see, you know, you personally and then you as your enterprise making sure that, you know, it impacts that local area the best that it possibly can?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And I will tell you this. I have received, just from yesterday, from when I initially tweeted and Facebooked, you know, kind of our thoughts for the development and then the thoughts for this $250,000 commitment to the neighborhoods, is calls, emails, texts. The word is certainly getting out there, and people are curious and they want to know what this is and how it works. And you know, all I can say is this: I am for keeping everything as simple as possible. This is what I don't want. This, and again, I say that, but I want the neighborhood to have the control of this, mm-hmm. this money, and however that is the easiest, most streamlined method of executing, you know, taking this money and making a real difference with it in the neighborhood. However that can, the most simple way, the most easy way that can be executed, I'm all for it. The last thing I want is for this $250,000 to be tied up with the city or with Purdue or with people fighting and yelling and screaming about it. In fact, if you have any ideas or if anyone has any ideas, I'd love to hear it, and I'd love to help out in any way I could. But I think that, again, the key thing here is I don't want this to be Mark Munzer is determining how this $250,000 is used. No, I want this to be a neighborhood, a neighborhood project. And I guess any feedback or any ideas on how to do that, I'm happy to learn, and I want to make this successful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now from that, okay, so let's say, you know, somehow there's a system that's developed. You know, everyone's mm-hmm. happy with that. The neighborhood's in control. Now, where do you, now you say no strings attached. And the only, so it's just you put the money in there and then they make that happen. Is the, now I know that also you've been talking to the Area Planning Commission.
Yes.
You've been doing your preliminary talks with them.
Yes.
We'll get into that as far as if that proposal is available anywhere. But where do you, if for some reason it doesn't go through, is that commitment then pulled out, or, you know, is
no,
it?
That's correct. This is in conjunction with our plans for development.
Okay.
So this is, again, this is I'm trying to create a situation where all parties win, neighborhoods win, Purdue students win, you know, big boiler cribs. As well, absolutely, our company.
Oh, yeah.
You know, our expansion of our business, a profit opportunity for our business. I mean, that these are all, you know, there's no secrets here. And so that's absolutely correct. If we don't build the project, no $250,000. And by no means are we drawing lines in the sand regarding our project. I want to get, and I'll happily send you over the site plans and everything for our project, because I want feedback from the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I want these plans out there. I want to work with the city. I want to make a cool project with input from everybody. And so this is, you know, I'm, by no means am I saying, oh, let us build this exact thing. Or else, it's not that. What I'm looking for is I want the feedback, and at the end of the day, this thing is only going to be a better project if it has input from as many people as possible in the neighborhood, in the Purdue community, and the students, and the city of West Lafayette, but you are correct. This is goes hand in hand with our development project. So it's if we don't build a project. I would not personally be able to write a $250,000 check to the neighborhoods if we don't build a project. I think that's understandable.
Right, right. No, completely understandable. I just wanted to touch base on that briefly. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just sorry. I meant the no strings attached was really, maybe I wasn't clear. The no strings attached was really in terms of the money to the neighborhoods,
right.
Having the neighborhoods having full control of how that money is spent. And I don't want to meddle in that and be in control of that. That was kind of the no strings reference.
Right, right. And I just wanted to make that clear because, you know, obviously
yep.
Twitter is limited, as you pointed out,
yes.
to 140 characters. Some people might be able to read that as, oh, you know, they're committing that, you know, perhaps mm-hmm. for other reasons. But yes, I figured as much and you
yes.
clarified that. And then you articulated it very nicely there in the middle of what you were saying. It sounds like that you're very much for transparency. And transparency seems to be a movement that is gaining a phenomenal amount of traction, both in civic life and business life and just, you know, generally in life itself with the advent of various social medias. And so that's really encouraging to hear that you want to keep this on that level, because it seems like you also agree with transparency, the best ideas can come to light.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I will tell you that I think projects, and I started meeting with people in the community and the city councilors about this project, I mean, maybe as far back as a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and just on the very front end of this, the best part has just been listening to everyone else, and the other thing I've really learned is the city councilors and the neighborhoods, and they don't like having developers and people propose projects in secret and having them just thrown into their lap. That has not worked at all in the past. And I made a commitment right there at the very front end of this thing is I'm going 100% the opposite way. You want to see the plans for this project? Email me, tweet me, Facebook me. I'll send them to you. Every conversation I've had with the city councilor, with PRF, with Purdue, with West Lafayette, I tell everyone it's open book. I'll tell you whatever you want to know, and whatever you tell me in the information, you know what? I'm sharing it with everyone else. And this is a 100% transparent process. So I'll tell you what, social media has been fantastic for that. And I really appreciate you. You know, I know we've interacted a lot on Twitter. I think it's fantastic. And I really appreciate you reaching out, I guess, even giving me an opportunity to speak with you and hopefully get the word out there even more.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that opportunity as well. Like I said, this is something that it's more of a hobby of mine, but I really like doing it because I'm firmly in the belief that transparency leads to a greater aspects to all areas of life, and particularly
mm-hmm.
how we live and where we live.
Mm-hmm.
So that is encouraging to hear. Now, I know one thing that you and I have gone back and forth over Twitter about, and you mentioned earlier that you've been contacted by entities who have established, I presume, business identities at those universities.
Mm-hmm.
And so this commercial, this first floor commercial area, would you like to see that where I know there's some, it sounded like you were saying that some of the other entities that are already in your, the Stadium Square strip mall there,
mm-hmm.
they would like to move possibly to the bigger
yes,
facility.
Well, yes.
And then also, any push to try to have local businesses develop in there as opposed to, you know, larger chain or franchise developments?
no, absolutely. And but I'll tell you, what's interesting is, you know, keep in mind the businesses, for example, in Stadium Square right now, you know, those are local owner operators.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are long-time established local people that live in Lafayette that own those businesses and run those businesses. For example, Hair Emporium. You know, that's not a nationwide billion-dollar corporation. You know, that is a local group that has run that business successfully for many years. The idea of local businesses. You know, I know all the owners of those businesses and locals, mm-hmm. and even Subway. That's a local man that's a very successful franchisee, lives in Lafayette, has gone to local schools, and you know, I think people look and see Subway and think, wow, big national corporation. That's just a local franchisee that has put his money, his reputation, on the line and runs a small business there. So there's a little bit of it's interesting to kind of the local business concept. I think the local businesses are already there.
Right. They're definitely local businesses, and I understand the differences between, you know, a national corporation still running the company and a franchisee.
Right.
Like I said, I know we've had dialogue about this before. For instance, I heard that Dairy Queen and a Orange Julius will be moving into the old Parthenon spot over in Chauncey. That doesn't necessarily excite me. My personal belief in those kinds of developments, something like a Dairy Queen will not foster and develop a community or a culture. Sure, people will frequent that. You might have a successful business person own that establishment, but like you were talking about before, dense urban areas, you generally don't get a lot of people transferring beautiful ideas at a Dairy Queen. And so, and I know I looked at your Boiler Cribs website. I guess you own the apartments, or maybe the whole building of Vienna.
Yes, I do. I own that building.
Yeah, Vienna. That would be a perfect example of, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not sure if there's any franchise or if that was all locally grown, but that, you know, that type of environment where, you know, it lends itself a little bit more to, you know, the university atmosphere of, oh, let's meet here for lunch, transfer some ideas, business people, professors, students, counties, you know, all walks of life can congregate and do things there. I, being so close to the neighborhoods, that's why I bring up the question the way I did. If it was just another, you know, Dairy Queen and a Subway, it wouldn't really necessarily, in my opinion, foster an extension of the community that the neighborhood brings. It would almost, you know, just turn it into another, you know, typical commercially non-culture center, which it sounds like you're trying to do the opposite. You'd like this to be an extension of that neighborhood. You'd like this, with your talks with the athletic department, create, you know, an environment, almost in essence like the first start of a downtown type of area in the West Lafayette, you know. And so that's encouraging to hear. I just didn't know your views in terms of, like you said, earlier on you said you had been contacted by these other entities who had established themselves in Big Ten, and I assume it was those types of entities, the usual college restaurants that have started flourishing about. I don't know if there's coffee shops. I assume there's probably some that have started expanding. So just your view on that, or?
Yeah, no, I think you're dead on. Anything I can do to help the local business, the local economy, local small business owners, in terms of putting them in a position to have a successful business, I'm all for it. And I would say even too, the economy, just macro speaking, is still not, at least in my opinion, is still not fantastic. Just on a global basis, it seems like there's still some tough times out there. And I think it's, I think it's interesting that a project like this, I mean, not only the increase in the tax base, but just the actual development of the property using local workers, local subcontractors, all the different trades. This is it's a mind-boggling boon to the local economy, and I'm friends. And I have been friends, and my parents have been friends with the local small business owners for many years. And I think it's a part that I'm really excited about is hoping to put a fantastic project out there that the local community can really have their hands in, not only in helping design, but in physically building it and putting people to work. I think it's, I mean, to me, that's just, that's kind of another, again, another win scenario, I think, that kind of spins off this.
Oh, very much so. No, that's great to hear that you would use as much local, if not all local, as possible.
Yes.
You're right. It's these kinds of developments that can kind of jumpstart those aspects of the economy. Maybe, you know, various subcontractors are hitting hard times. A project like this comes along, and now everyone has work for several months.
Right. And in particular, the Chauncey Square project in the Purdue Village.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to finish that project and to get it, you know, kickstarted and get it back up and running and get people back to work. There are contractors and subcontractors that are out of business when they first took a run at building that project, that are no longer in business, wiped out, bankruptcy.
From the first building that you built over there?
From the first project, the Chauncey Square, when it was began in 2007.
Okay.
A lot of tradesmen lost a lot of money on that project, and you know, I'm happy to be a part of that project now, to get it kickstarted, get it back up and going. The city council is fantastic in understanding that this was very much needed to not only fill, not only to complete the development, but just economically, you know, to get people back to work. I think a lot of the workers that worked on the original Chauncey Square project that lost a lot of money, I think they're going to make a lot of that money back on the next phase in the completion of the project. So I feel, to me, it's you know, we're getting a huge response from that, from people, you know, getting put back to work on the next phase of Chauncey Square. So that's what it's all about. It's just exciting to hear that when you get feedback like that.
Oh, definitely. Now it sounded, so were you not involved in that? I know you call it the Noodles building. That's what we're talking about, right? Were you involved in the original construction of that?
No, I was not. We only took ownership of that property in, I think maybe it was like March of 2011, March of this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, no, we were not involved with that project.
Okay, I just wanted to make that clear.
yes. No, that we took ownership in I believe it was March of 2011. So we rescued the project.
Right.
Our goal
was
to get in there. We took a monumental amount of risk on an unfinished, project that had been started, and we took a monumental amount of risk. And you know what? I think it appears it's going to work out. The city council was fantastic. They approved us going ahead and finishing the project, the next phase of the project.
Right, I read about that.
Our plan is to break ground in July. So it's, we were not involved in any way, shape, or form in 07, 08, 09, or, you know, any of that stuff. So we just took ownership a couple months ago.
Good. Just wanted to make that clear. Yeah, because I know that's always been a point of topic for those of us that have lived in town for a while since the construction of that. I believe a church was there before that hadn't been used, and then that was removed, and then this building came up, and then we kept hearing the stories of unfinished apartments, no one can move in, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. No, so that's great to hear that, taken at the helm, you seem to actually follow through and get things done, Mark, so that is excellent to hear. Is the next building, I'm trying to remember from the Journal and Courier article that I read, is it pretty much the same thing along the other side of the road?
Yes, it's just going to be apartments only, though.
No commercial.
There'll be no commercial space, and certainly it was a real, everyone involved wanted it to certainly blend in with the existing, you know, with the existing project, that the existing building that had already been built on site. So it, from a visual standpoint, it's meant to tie in with that. It's going to be really nice, you know, cool, brand new apartments, and it's, We're really excited about it. It's interesting with the local tradesmen that are going to be working on that. You know, they're asking about our next project. They're asking about the stadium project, the across from Mac Arena, and this you know, there's a movement here. There's an economic boom here, and I tell you, I think the ripples and the waves that kind of come off this this momentum, you know, it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing for everybody.
I think it's a great thing. And on that note, Mark, any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
I would just like to say thank you to you. I really appreciate it. I think the idea of anything to help be transparent and get the word out about this project is I'm all for it. And I appreciate you reaching out to me on Twitter and contacting me, having this phone call today. And I also, anyone who listens to this or reads about this interview, please contact me. If you have ideas, thoughts, you want to grab coffee, whatever you'd like, if you want to see the plans, I'll email them to you. Just contact me. It's open book.
Great. Well, Mark, thank you for your time. I greatly appreciate it. And you enjoy your rest of your weekend. I'll be in touch with you.
Have a great weekend.
You same. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.